didn't have time to watch Infernal Affairs. I always mean to watch it. So I've never seen it. Is it faithful? Is it? It seems apparently Scorsese didn't watch Infernal Affairs before. Kind of didn't even know he was making a remake until he did the movie, and like then refused to watch the movie to not be influenced by it.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, I could see not wanting to be influenced by it. It's similar. Yeah, I watched it for the first time. I should say I like to say because it's requel. I watched it. Oh my god, I watched it the other day, and it's good. It's good. It's pretty faithful to this. You got the whole like one guy going into the police academy. One guy, you know, the dynamics there are pretty much similar. There's a pile of bodies at the end that's very similar. There's not the love triangle though, I don't think. But then again, I was imbibing. It was the weekend.
You were off the clock.
Down.
I was off the clock.
Some off the clock Infernal Affairs.
Oh yeah, dude. Don't worry about it. And I won't remember half of it.
Chris, is that you've seen it? I bet.
Oh yeah, yeah. The first one is really good. I've seen the other two, but I complete this. I was imbibing quite a bit when I did watch them. It was a while ago. Whenever the Criterion put out the big set is when I did it. I do. I mean, it makes sense though, because like all the action movies from China and from Hong Kong, from all that area, it was all influenced by Scorsese.
Yeah.
They were all obsessed with Mean Streets. They're all obsessed with Taxi Driver. Like that it totally makes sense that this would come back in some way. And I honestly, the pace, which does feel like it, this feels like what brought us to Wolf of Wall Street. This level of pace and movement is so crazy in the editing. I haven't seen Thelma move like this. It's insane to me.
Well, this is my question, because you even kind of keyed into it. Is this Scorsese's only action movie? Because this is this is an action movie, right? Like, I wouldn't call Goodfellas an action movie.
Yeah,
I would call this an action movie. Weirdly,
I mean, because I wouldn't. So, like, what distinguishes it as an action movie for you?
I think the shootout at the end is a huge action set piece. I think the chase in the middle is a bit of an action set piece, you know, stabbing that poor delivery driver. I mean, I feel like in like Goodfellas, and I mean, Casino is a little more action heavy too. You could even lean that way, but it's more of the drama deal. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm being obtuse. I'm curious. I think
I understand it, because it is usually with his other movies that would look action like. It's an institution eating away at itself. Mm-hmm. It's very much the cops versus the criminals.
Yes, cops and robbers.
Cops and robbers is kind of the center of it. And I don't know if there's another movie where it's at. Like the Goodfellas, the cops are on the side, they're mostly corrupt. Same thing with Wolf of Wall Street and with any of the ones that really move like this. Mean Streets is like the closest, but even then the cops don't really matter. Like it doesn't come to pass.
No, this is the closest that it's like you get both sides of it, and you only get that because on one side are indeed like true blue criminals that also have jobs as cops.
I feel like if I can feel the runtime, and as much as I like this movie, I did feel the runtime today. Sure. That I feel like if I feel that runtime, it's not really an action movie. I think the original is more of an action movie. That is, I almost want to say it's better paced, but it's not, because it's a different thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is so layered with, I love all that shit of all, like, getting to know all these fucking scumbags, Fitzy and all them.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Give me some time to marinate with these scumbags, dude, mm-hmm. because there's some really solid scumbaggery afoot in this movie.
I do love how Leo keeps having to be like, I don't want to hang out in this bar. And I'm like, dude, just hang out at the bar. It seems pretty good. Like, I don't
just
know.
Just hang out at that bar.
Fitzy's got some stories. They're going to lean a little racist, and that might be a bit much, you know, but you know.
He's heard all of them though. You're talking about, you're like 25th time you've heard the story about how he went up to Providence and brought back his wife. Like, that's, you've heard it.
I would stay in that bar. The bar is, you know, Irish Haven in Brooklyn. That's a real place that Chris used to live by. So we went there, you know, a few times. You guys went more than me, Chris. You lived there, but I went there a handful of times. That's a bar I would hang out at.
It is a nice bar. I've closed that place out a few times. It's very near and dear to my heart. I actually went there for St. Paddy's Day once, which was nice, except for they were racist to my friend.
That'll happen.
It was great, so we got out of there as soon as possible. But I haven't been where Leo gets his cast broke. Yes. I have been in that room. I've played pool on that pool table.
I oh, wow, feel yeah. it when you watch this. You know, yes. I'm like, there's a lingering cabin presence.
Yeah, oh, man, Chris Cabin's been in this bar. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. Speaking of like Nicholson at the beginning of this movie, you know, what a great idea, right? You want to show Frank Costello, like, whatever, 25 years younger. And the way that he does this at the beginning of this movie, and it also works out so well because it's so terrifying. Like, it's Nicholson in silhouette yes. through most of it. And he's got his goatee and his hair is dyed, like, jet black almost. And when he comes out of the shadow, like, at the last part of these, like, intro scenes, it's just Jack Nicholson with fucking hair dye on yep. for a few seconds. And you know what? He doesn't look like a fucking embarrassing cartoon.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just practical. Right. You're using lighting. What a refreshing thing.
The shadows is great because then, you know, it plays so much better than having, imagine if he de-aged him like he did De Niro. Oh my
God. No, exactly. No. Like, it's not really distracting. You're like, oh, that's kind of cool. Because also, like, Frank Costello in this movie, as played by Jack Nicholson, is kind of just the devil.
Yes.
As, sure. You know what I mean? And so he's just like shrouded in shadows this whole time when he's talking to an itty bitty Matt Damon here. Like, you want to make some more money, kid? Why don't you come see me?
We got to dig into this scene. This is fucking insane. This is demented stuff. Shaking down this luncheonette for like $25.
Yeah.
And then grooming this kid to like, oh, it's Johnny Sullivan's kid, lives with his grandma. Get him a ton of groceries. And I'm sorry. I mean, nice old man, whatever. Put some money in my pocket. Get me some Wonder Bread. I'm not going to ruin my life for you.
I don't know, dude. He gave him a Wolverine comic as well. So, you know.
That was a pretty choice.
Yeah. I got some. Get him some Wonder Bread. Get him some X-Factor. You got X-Factor back there. Get him.
Well, look at this. I love this, Steve. Now you're directing like, okay, so Wolverine comics for free is a direct line to be shot in the head.
Yeah. I mean, I had a decent
that was my experience of working at Marvel Comics. Yeah, that's right. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, come on in through this door, Steven. Yeah, you can come work at Marvel Comics. Why are we talking like that here? I don't know.
We got a rat in Marvel Comics. Someone's telling DC what we're doing.
Now, Bobby, there's the collectible Marvel cards. They got the little hologram ones in there. Give him a couple of them, too. That'll seal the deal nice and well.
But I do, and he's also, like, hitting on this, like, 16-year-old girl, which only this time I realize is not his girlfriend-to-be later in the film.
No, he's just got a thing for redheaded
that's
girls
kind of the thing,
movie.
Yeah.
You see him go through a couple in this film, as a matter of fact, and that's the thing they all have in common is they're redheads.
I was sort of, I always mistook it as like, oh, we set up Matt Damon here, we set up his, like, lady friend later, that, you know, who I think her name is Gwen, is the main character. This is Carmen. Get your period yet, Carmen? It's just like, oh man. And then, like, Nicholson, I think at the time I loved this. And then, like, I think in subsequent viewings, I was sort of like, is he bebopping and scatting too much? Last night, I was really just like, honestly, like, I'm thankful for this performance because he stopped doing it. He got the dementia. Like, you know what I mean? Like, give him one big last thing that's not the bucket list. Well, you know what I mean? Like that.
Yep.
What's so wrong with a bebop and a scat? Nothing. I don't get it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I want one or two. Like, it'd be great to get one more Al Pacino, like, really going for it, as silly as it might look, and as good as he is in something like Dead Man's Walk. Like, it's nice to see this energy, because for a while, I thought, like, the last great Nicholson performance was probably going to be, like, what, About Schmidt? Which is good. Really good.
Right.
But this is what I know Nicholson for, is the energy, man. And this, he fucking rides it like lightning in this fucking movie.
There is a moment in this film where his character kills a fly and then fucking eats it off the table. Right. Okay?
Incredible.
Take that, Mr. Miyagi.
Oh, he's making a fucking comment about Karate Kids later in
he
the film.
Sure is.
But yeah, you know, you want to make a little extra money, come see me on L Street. We see, like, he is doing the whole, like, you got to catch him young. Like, there's this shot of, like, Frank Costello's army of children that he's got here. Yes. And he's, like, you know, just, like, giving him the way of the world such as he sees it, which is just to say, like, corrupting these children's brains in real time.
And there's, I forget what it is, but early on, Colin quotes James Joyce, like, oh, very good, very smart, Colin. And I there is something about the way Costello kind of views intelligent people versus views stupid people. And
they
what
read.
He could, Yes, what he could use them for, kind of a thing, yep, is very much the difference.
And you see, like, immediately, as he's, like, talking to these young recruits, I don't remember what the line is that sets it up, but you see, like, the kind of guy that he is, because it cuts to Nicholson and Ray Winstone as Frenchie. Great fucking Ray Winstone performance in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And they kill this Italian couple, because he's rambling about the Italian mafia doing something, and you see Nicholson pops the dude like by the water,
yeah,
and then pops this woman, and she falls on top of him, and he's looking at it almost like Michael Myers, like fucking turning his head like, yes, a dog, and he's like, ah, she fell funny. And Ray Winstone is like, Frank, you should really see somebody, Francis, is, yes, what he's, and you just know, like, okay, if you're Ray Winstone, like, you know, bulldog number two is, yes, like, you should go to therapy, Francis. Like, this guy is bonkers.
Well, you know, you have to enjoy your work at some level, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think, sure, like, you know, you're shooting people in the head all the time, and it kind of gets boring after the first five. I know from experience. And when one of the bodies does something a little abnormal, it's a pep in your step.
So, yeah, you're saying you're part of the Five Timers Club, dude? Mm-hmm.
That's right, yeah.
If you liked what you just heard and you want to get the rest of this episode, head on over to patreon.com/wehatemovies, where not only can you instantly unlock the rest of this fine program, you also get yourself access to hours upon hours of exclusive shows and commentaries you cannot get anywhere else. That's patreon.com/wehatemovies.